All right. You know, I'm going to be looking for a volunteer now. Someone, and we don't need a lot of content to make this work because remember last time I was talking about the difference between content, which is what you're thinking of, and some modalities, which is the how you are thinking. And our focus for this is going to be on how you are thinking that may either be working to get you the results or working against you. So we don't need a lot of content for this. So who would like to come up and have a wonderful, interesting experience as you get new choices? Come on up. Tell me what your name is again.
Elena.
You're one of the Elenas. There's two Elenas. Sorry about that. All right. So what is it that you might like to explore while you're up here, Elena?
I can't give up. Eating something that's not necessarily good for me, but something that I like.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stop myself for a long enough time. There's always a thought at one point that, well, screw this. I enjoy it, so I'm just going to keep doing it.
Okay. So this is about eating in particular kinds of foods.
Like sweet foods, like pastries, candies.
Okay, especially sweets, huh?
Yep.
Uh-huh. And what have you thought of that where you do have choice?
I can give up, say, not going somewhere where I really want to go. Like if say, I need to do something,
mm-hmm.
The choice is, say, like, I don't know, go out or finish doing something, I have no problem like finishing whatever I need to do and giving up that activity mm-hmm. that I would enjoy.
So does food and this giving up of activities seem similar in your mind somehow?
Just that it's something that I have to give up.
Okay, something that you have to give up. Well, I'm not sure they're similar enough for your unconscious mind to work with that. Let me ask you this. So there's this category of food called sweets or mm-hmm. pastries or whatever that you really enjoy. And are you thinking that the only thing that you can do with that is give them up?
Not completely, but I want to have a choice to where,
okay.
like I don't.
All right, so
have to go for them.
With sweets, you would like to have a choice over eating them or not.
Right.
What are other foods that you like?
Oh.
That you have choice about? You all see why I'm, it seems, yeah. What are other foods? And it has to be something you like. You can't just say, okay, lima beans are really easy for me to give up.
I don't think that's a choice. Like, I don't think I can give up something that I like.
Mm-hmm. Are there other foods?
No.
You just said give up, but you said you wanted to have more choice.
Yes, right.
Well, right. So, but I can't... I don't think I have a choice in where if I want to eat something and I've like decided that, say, today I'm only going to eat A, but I really want to eat B, C, D, and F,
mm-hmm.
I don't have a choice to where it's a very hard choice, and sometimes I can't even make that choice to where I can say I'm only going to eat A today.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? It's not necessarily sweets. It's anything.
Okay, so this is about food in general.
I guess.
And feeling like you don't have choices.
Like in foods that I enjoy, yeah.
Yeah, foods that you enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So are there, again, I would just ask, not even foods, but are there other things that you ingest in your body that you feel like you have choice over? That if... You know, if you chose not to eat it or not to drink it, you could. Like, I don't know how you stand on coffee or alcohol or things of that nature? Do you have choices over those? See, if we don't have the correct issue, it might not work.
I mean, may not even be an issue, actually.
What?
The thing is that I think it has to do with food, but I can't. I can't force myself to not have something that I enjoy having.
That's okay. So this sounds like a conflict to me.
I just wonder.
Speak up if you want.
Yeah, I just was there something about it being readily available to her? Could you map it over to something that she opts not to do that might be readily available? Would it be more of the sweets?
That's part of it. But say if I decide today I'm only eating fruits and vegetables,
uh-huh.
and then I get hungry and I have like a salad and I have another salad and I have another salad, I'm still hungry. I'm gonna say, well, screw this. I'm gonna eat like a pastry, which I enjoy. That's the issue.
So, yeah, because you're somehow doing without, you feel a sense of depriving yourself.
Right.
Okay.
So why do you
want to stop eating? I was going to get say, how is this a problem? That's okay, Claire. My next question was going to be, how is this a problem? Because I'm looking at...
Well, and we talked about it, it's not that... it's when I'm comparing myself to what, say, my weight was 5 or 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or even a year ago, and I want to fit into something that I used to fit into and I can't, and I don't want to buy like a whole new wardrobe, so that's...
So the motivation to not eat so many sweets is about how you look in your clothes and how your clothes fit.
Yep. Yeah.
That's the criteria you're using.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So let's see. So that's a category of you're doing things that, let me think. Well, and give me your example of the activities that you said you could decide to do or not to do, and let's see if we can find a way to make this fit.
Okay, well, if I have a lot of work and I have something planned for like 7 p.m., for
mm-hmm.
example, like meet a friend for tea or whatever, and at one point I realize that I can't do it because I have to finish something at work. Obviously, I would enjoy meeting my friend more, but I don't have, it's not hard for me to say, hey, I can't make it, and actually stay at work and finish what mm-hmm. I need to finish.
Okay, and why is it not hard for you?
Well, it's just something that needs to be done, I don't know.
Okay, so it's something that needs to be done?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And if you thought that you need to eat in a certain manner...
Okay.
To get back in your clothes, does that seem similar?
Yeah.
Okay. That's how we might be able to get this to work. Let's try it, okay? Actually, it might be really interesting to explore the way of thinking about each of these just to see what the differences are. Okay, so let's try it. I mean, you know, I'm game for anything. We have... Activities, deciding on activities, but it's things that you would really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the one that you feel like you have more choice over.
Yeah.
And the other is the way you eat.
Food.
We'll just put food. And you said it was more than just sugar or pastries.
Yeah, it's just anything enjoyable.
Anything enjoyable. And what's really important is the activities are enjoyable. I think that's one way we might be able to get this to work. So, all right, we're going to explore the way you think about each of these issues. Which one would you like to explore first, Elaine?
Food.
food. Okay. And if it's okay with you, my intent is to help you discover how you might be thinking that you could change to give you more choices.
Okay.
And my intent is also to teach the group how to ask these questions. So is it okay with you if occasionally I go over and write down a list of the submodalities that we're discovering?
Yeah.
Okay. So when we're here, we're in meta position. And when I have you step into each one of these anchors, then you can go into that space. So we're going to put food down. Do you care if it's on this side or that side? It doesn't matter?
Actually, it does.
Okay.
Food on the right. And
it doesn't hurt to ask, you know? It really doesn't. Okay, so in a minute, I want you to go in and fully associate into having to make some food choices that you feel really stuck about. Like you really... you said you've eaten 3 or 4 salads and some fruit and you're still hungry. Mm-hmm. And then when you get to that point. So I'd like you to think of a time when you did that.
Okay.
Okay? And fully put yourself back in it. And then I'm going to ask you to step forward into this space. Can you think of a time? No, you must have done it. Did you do it over Thanksgiving at all?
Okay,
so step in here and be there with a choice to make about food, okay? Where are you?
My mom's kitchen.
Your mom's kitchen, okay. Be there in mom's kitchen. And... tell me, we're going to explore any internal pictures you have, what you say to yourself, and I already know one thing you say is, oh, screw it.
Yeah.
But we're going to find out where that is and the tonality of it. So any visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. So first of all, as you're there in your mom's kitchen deciding what to eat, what are you aware of? What are you most aware of? Any internal pictures, sounds, or feelings?
Well, yeah, it's the food I want and where it is.
Okay. And how are you thinking about the food you want and where it is?
Well, I mean, it's just there sitting on the counter.
Okay. So are you touching it with your hands? Are you looking at it with your
eyes? I'm looking at it.
Okay. So you can see the food.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's, it looks like it creates a certain internal state, doesn't it? Do y'all notice that? That's great. Okay, so there's that food on the counter. Okay. Now, in your mind, you're not really there. Tell me about the qualities of the visual image you have of the food. Qualities meaning some modalities. Large, small, near, far.
Well, it's basically about the same distance that it would be from me if I were there, and
okay.
It's in color, and it's about the size, like the life size.
Okay, so it's life size in color, about the same distance as if you were right there.
Mm-hmm.
Is it clear or is it fuzzy? Your
clear.
Internal image.
Clear.
It's clear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so is it? You said life size. It's right there, kind of in front of you. Is there in anything about it standing out from its environment, or is it flat?
Your internal. No, it's not flat. It's 3D.
Okay, it's 3D, and I could have guessed that, but I don't want to put words in her mouth. So I'm at. It's 3D. Is there movement in it, or is it still your internal image?
It's still.
It's still. Okay, so we have the visual is it's colored. It's about life size. It's the same distance that you might be from it. It's 3D,
mm-hmm.
And it's still.
Yeah.
Anything else about the visual image that you can look at?
It's kind of asking to be eaten.
How is it doing that?
I don't know.
Yes.
How is it asked?
No, this is
looking very good.
What about it? Yeah. What about? I mean, does it have some shine to it? Is it dull? Is it? You said it was clear. What is it?
It feels happy.
Okay. What about the image? This is interesting. What about the image of this food that you're making right now?
Well, I guess gets it's you just shiny.
It's shiny.
But it's not like, it's not, you know, like it's not glowing, but it kind of has a gloss to it.
It has a gloss to it. Okay, now this is how you create compulsions, you guys. No, I want you to really realize how relevant this is. She says, you know, it wants to be eaten. Well, what is it about? Well, it's got this shine, this glow about it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, step out of that for just a minute while I write this down. So you want to ask enough questions that it starts to make sense. You know, a still life that has no movement in it, but is 3D, is colored. So we write the visual aspects. This is food, okay? It's still, it's colored, it's 3D, it's clear. It's, if I put shiny?
Glossy.
Glossy. Okay, so I'll just share with you. Mine, when I'm feeling a sense of compulsion, has sparkles on it. People do different things. Or, if it's a food, it will move back and forth. Yours is not. Yours is still.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's this, my guess is the glossy is the real key. Because you said it was, let's go in and see. We'll get there. So we have this visual image of this food. Mm-hmm. It's still, it's 3D, it's colorful, and it's clear, and it's glossy. Mm-hmm. And it's really wanting to be eaten. So...
Yeah.
What? Listen to any auditory and any kinesthetic that goes with this image you just said that of this food that wants to be eaten. What's the auditory that goes with that as you're looking at this glossy food sitting in front of you? Internal, probably some internal dialogue you might.
Yeah. So the dialogue, the internal dialogue would be auditory?
Yeah, that's auditory, yes. Do you say something to yourself as you're looking at this glossy food? Do you hear this?
Well, I guess I say, like, I shouldn't, or I said I wouldn't eat it today, or whatever. Uh-huh.
You say that inside? I said I wouldn't eat this today.
Yeah.
Okay. And then?
And then I say, well, screw it. I'm hungry. Okay.
So now listen to the different voice tones. So, we describe the different voice tones. I said I wouldn't eat it. Now, that's kind of...
Well, see, it's more screw it. It's not going to hurt because, like, I'm used to not having problems with... Wait.
Right. So. Uh-huh. Right. But first you hear this kind of matter of fact, kind of low and slow, I said I wasn't going to eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then?
And then I say, well, screw it. It's not going to hurt if I just have one.
Okay. All right. And do you hear those in the same exact location? Are they in different locations as you say them? I said I wasn't going to eat it. That's kind of low and slow. Ah, screw.
Oh, well, I think the first one is more like to the right and front.
Okay.
And then the second one is more kind of in the middle and towards the back.
Okay, so different locations for these voices. One is over here on the right, the one that says, oh, well, I said I wasn't going to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I said yeah. I wouldn't. And then the other one comes up that's more towards the back.
Yeah.
And says, oh, one isn't going to hurt. Screw it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So step back out of that. So we have two different voices in the auditory. I'll keep this all in this. Two voices. The one is low, a little lower and slower, a little flatter, I heard her. And the content I'm going to put down just because then that helps you. I shouldn't said I wasn't going to eat it. Shouldn't. And that's off to the right, you said.
The first one?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. To right and front. And the second one moves towards the back.
The center back, yeah.
Center back. And it's got a little more tonality to it. Yeah, it's not going to hurt. It more movement mm-hmm. in it, yeah. Center back. Screw it. I'm going to put screw it just because that then we know exactly what we're talking about. Okay, so back in here again. So we've got this visual image of this food that's still and a three-dimensional and very clear and colorful and glossy. And and a voice that first says, well, I said I wasn't going to eat it. I shouldn't. Coming from over here. And then another voice that pops in that goes, ah, screw it. And then?
Then I go get it.
Okay. What feeling state, what are the kinesthetics that get you to go get it? So sensations inside your body. And then look at this glossy picture, because I know there's, it's good. She starts licking her lips. This is like you, Hummel. Looking at this glossy picture. And look at what it elicits in her. That's why I know there's some kinesthetic sensations there. What are you aware of? Where do you feel whatever you're feeling in your body? Because you light up all over. You really do.
Well, I mean, I guess I start tasting it.
Okay, you start tasting it. Mm-hmm. Is it sweet, sour, pleasant? What? Yeah, I mean, how would you describe the sensations of the taste?
Well, it depends on what the food is.
Okay. So ahead of time, as you're looking at this glossy picture, you actually start imagining.
This one is actually salty.
Okay, so you imagine what it will taste like.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And what else? What else makes you light? I mean, your whole body lights up. When you imagine tasting it, what happens? We're getting all of the signals here. She's swallowing and,
Well, it's just a feeling of fullness, I guess.
Okay, where do you feel that
here?
Sensation? A feeling of fullness in the center of your body?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does it have a temperature? Is it hot or cold?
Yeah. I guess it's a little warm.
Okay, it's a little warm. Does it have a texture? Smooth? Hard?
No.
You said fullness, so does that mean it takes up a lot of space or not very much space?
I think it's just kind of like a peaceful, warm feeling.
Oh, so in here, when you imagine tasting that and you look at that glossy food and you've said, oh, I'm just going to go ahead and eat it, you get a sense of peacefulness. How would you describe that in submodalities? Is that fast or slow or?
Peaceful. Slow.
It's slow. And you said warm earlier.
Yeah, like it's a little warm.
A little warm?
Yeah.
And it's slow?
Yeah, it's just like peace, like you don't need anything else. It's satisfaction.
Okay. Now, those are all content words, so now I have to say, so when you say satisfaction and you don't need anything else, what is it about this sensation? Is it the texture, the temperature, the amount of space it takes up that you call peaceful?
Well, yeah, it's hard because I'm not kinesthetic at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think about things that way.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah, your whole body lights up somehow when you think of eating this.
Well, it is a whole body type of peaceful feeling.
Okay.
But I can't describe it any more than that.
A whole body sensation. And you said it was relatively slow.
Mm-hmm.
And a little warm.
Yeah.
Okay. So does it move up and down your body or does it just occupy your whole body?
It just occupies.
Okay, you all understand there's a difference between a moving sensation and one that she's just feeling. Okay, let's call it that good. So she's less aware of the kinesthetics, but we all saw a lot of kinesthetic accessing, didn't we? Now, the taste is going to be idiosyncratic with food. She's probably not going to taste these other activities. So I'm not necessarily going to write down the taste. But it's a full body, a little warm, what else did you say? One other thing. Full body, slow. A little warm, slow.
And that it's not moving.
Mm-hmm.
It just occupies space.
Yes, it's taking up the whole body. No movement. Okay. We've got enough that we can do a contrast now and find out how she thinks of the other experience, which is you being able to do some kind of activities.
Mm-hmm.
And make a choice. There, yes, that would be really pleasurable. I could, but I'm not going to do that because of something else. Now, we're going to see how you think about that differently.
Okay?
So over here, we have activities. So I want you to think of a time when you made a choice that way. You said, I made a commitment to go out with somebody, but I can't honor that because there's this other thing that seems mm-hmm. to be having more attention in my life.
Okay.
Okay? Got an experience of that? A time that you were actually there making that choice.
Yeah.
Okay? You said you were good at this, so I know you've got experiences of it.
It's hard coming up with an exact.
Okay, but you know what it feels
example.
Like when it happens? The reason I'm asking is it's important that you be able to associate yourself back into it. Then otherwise you're just guessing at what's there rather than actually finding out.
Okay.
Okay, got an experience? Okay, step into that now and describe to me what you're doing first, just
I'm sitting at a table
computer.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff keeps coming up. You know, at one point I decided that, well, I have to stay here and finish it instead of like going somewhere where I would rather be.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're sitting at a computer, stuff keeps coming up. You have some place else you would rather be, and you decide to finish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how are you thinking about that? So describe the visual image you have that goes with that decision. What do you notice immediately? We have a different location.
I don't think there's a visual image.
Okay, so what is there?
It's more kinesthetic.
Oh, this one's more kinesthetic. So yeah. What are you aware of feeling inside? The sensation?
Well, so when it's, first it's kind of like this anxious feeling where I know like there's this which I have to finish, and then there's this other place where I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a conflict. And then when I actually decide that I finish,
okay.
It's like...
So decide that you finish. What do you notice?
Right. It's like I take a deep breath and I calm down.
Uh-huh. And what's the sensation you're aware of in your body?
It's kind of like this firm.
Firm?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sensation.
Where is it?
I guess it's in my back.
A firm sensation in your back?
Like, yeah, so it's kind of like a posture thing, I think. I just feel more heavier, I guess, a little. Like taller.
Okay. Heavier, taller. Okay. In the back?
Right, so it's like along the spine.
Okay. Along the spine, you feel firm,
mm-hmm.
and heavy.
Yeah, solid. Yeah.
Firm. Oh, that's great. Firm and solid around the back.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Does that move or is it still?
No, it's still.
And does it have a temperature?
Just room temperature.
Okay.
So not really, no.
Okay. Firm and solid and still along the back.
Yeah.
Any texture to it? Rough, smooth? These are kinesthetic submodalities I'm asking about.
It's kind of a little rough, kind of like a wood.
Okay. Edge. Uh-huh. A little rough, firm, solid.
Yeah, and like there's this feeling of determination.
Okay, what does the feeling of determination...
Okay, like it's all that, what I described, it's, you know, along the spine.
The solid...
Yeah, the solid...
Okay.
Kind of calm feeling that.
Okay. Solid, now we're getting a calm feeling, so what does that mean? To go with this solid, tall...
Well, it's a contrast to where I was... making the decision where
uh-huh.
I was feeling anxious,
uh-huh.
which choice to take versus like
now that
right
you've
after
made it,
yeah,
you feel
calm,
calm and solid,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. with a little texture to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to have you step out of that so I can write this down. So she started with the kinesthetic feelings and she's not aware of the visual. She has to have it there somewhere, so we'll find out what's different. So, solid, firm, but the texture,
a little rough.
Mm-hmm. Solid, firm, rough, still in the back. Long spine. Mm-hmm. And she also says it feels a little like peaceful. And it's calm. The other one was peaceful. Anything else that you're aware of? This is, you've made the decision, mm-hmm. I'm going to stay.
Yeah.
Okay, so back in here, feel that feeling up along your spine. It makes you feel taller. You call it determination. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you feel firm. Yeah. What is any auditory that you say to yourself about
yes.
that? Yeah, yeah.
There is like a march playing in the background.
Okay, you hear music?
Yeah.
A march.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you feel this sense of determination, what goes with it is a piece of music that sounds like a march.
Yeah.
And where are you hearing that? In
just around.
Okay. In. So is it in stereo? She says yeah. around, and I look at what she does.
Yeah, it's in stereo.
It's in stereo. Is it loud or soft?
It's medium. It's not too mm-hmm. loud.
Not too loud, not too soft. In stereo?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What, if any, internal dialogue are you aware of that goes with you hearing this so, march inside?
They're like, okay, like, just get it done, like, get it done, concentrate, you know, get it done. The sooner you finish, the faster you leave.
Mm-hmm. And where do you hear that?
Kind of center back.
Center back, okay. And will you step out of that for a second? So again, we have two kinds of things going on in the auditory again. Isn't this fascinating? Instead of two voices this time, it's a march playing. And also a voice that's in the center and the back again. That goes along with matter of fact, is just get it done. Just get it, just the facts, ma'am. Mm-hmm. So like Joe Friday, just give me the facts, ma'am. Let's just get it done. So it's very matter of fact. Okay. So it's not too fast, not too slow.
The words?
The voice.
Yeah, it's just normal.
Just normal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, let's find out the picture that pops up with all of this. So be in the feeling. It's firm. It's tall. It's solid. It's got this texture to it. And it's a sense of what you call determination along your spine. And you've got this march playing in the background in stereo. And this matter-of-fact voice going, just, yeah, in the center in the back, just get it done. What visual pops up that goes with that?
It's some sort of like a military campaign, you know?
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the content. Where are you seeing this?
In front.
Okay, in front, and how close?
It's kind of in the distance, like okay. maybe like okay, where so, that wall is, or okay. a little closer.
So there's some kind of visual off in the distance. Uh-huh. Is it got movement, or is it still?
There's movement.
There's movement. Is it large or small?
It's on the smaller side.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's small, off in the distance. There's movement. What else? Is it clear or fuzzy?
It's kind of fuzzy.
Kind of fuzzy. So yeah. you're not so clear about it.
Yeah, and it's more like sepia.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Okay.
It's not really in color.
All right. So it's not in full color. It's a sepia tone. Yeah.
There's maybe the image that came up was like of everything sepia and then the flag that's kind of uh-huh. there. So, and the flag is in color, but everything else is kind of brownish.
Okay, so it's kind of a sepia tone mm-hmm. to it. Okay, so back out. So you notice if you give people a chance and you start with what they're doing, this is pacing and leading. So first I asked her about the picture and she said there is no picture. So we go to what she's most aware of, which was the feeling first. Then we go to the auditory, and then when we get to the visual, this is the activity. We have a distant, not so clear movement in the image, small, and sepia. Do you spell that with an S or a C? Mostly. Okay, off here. That goes with that.
Yeah.
Now, come back in here. This is, you had a struggle making the decision, but you made a decision. This is what I'm going to do. And once you make that decision, you have this sense along your spine of a solidity and a calm and a firmness and with a little texture to it. You have a marching band in stereo that's kind of goes with the determination and a voice in the back, center back, that goes, yeah, just get it done. And some kind of fuzzy, small, off in the distance movie running that's not even in full color. But that's enough for you. The way you're thinking about that in that way is enough for you to give up an activity that you would prefer to do because you know you've made this decision, this determination. Mm-hmm. Now, let's just step back out of that. So I've gathered the information about both. Are you all following me? Mm-hmm. And did you notice the way I asked the questions? I don't say, is it large? I say, is it large or small? What size is it? Because if I say, is it large, she might make it large, even though that wasn't the way she had it. So again, we're getting all the information we can from the person to figure out what's working. Now, we have to be creative about this because these don't totally, is not the structure of a typical map across, but ecology. We check. Now, and we ask, what would it be like for you concerning food if you felt the same amount of determination about the choices you made that you do when you give up an activity because you've made a choice to do that? What would it be like? I'm just asking.
I would like that to happen.
Uh-huh. Well, ask, would any part of you object to that? If you could make a choice, feel like you had a choice and fulfill it with the same amount of determination and strength?
Yeah, I mean, I think I might, you know, become a bore. Like, it's, imagine, like, you're in a group of people and they're like, oh, here, have this or have that. And like, oh, no, thanks, I don't need that. No, thanks, I don't need that. It's kind of like,
okay, so this is ecology. I'm going to be boring if I don't eat everything? No, let's ask that part. It's afraid you'll become a bore. What is that about? Let's ask that part that's coming up with some kind of objection. What is that?
Well, you know, it's kind of like you're in a fun situation. Like, I don't know, it's a dinner or something like that, and there's a certain atmosphere, and then if you, like, if one person just takes up all that attention, where, no, I'm not going to have that, I'm not going to have that, and, like, other people are looking to accommodate that person, then it kind of becomes, you know, a little...
Okay, so there needs to be some kind of moderation here, it sounds like. This part that's objecting says, well, if no matter what I'm offered, I say... No, I'm not eating that, I'm not eating that, until all the attention's being put on me for what I'm not doing. That part's afraid you will become a bore.
Yeah.
So how would it, what would be ideal for that part? Let's ask it. If you had some choices, let's ask that part. Does it realize that you're giving up activities? Do your friends think you're a bore because you give up activities?
No.
Well, isn't that interesting? So what's the difference? And really ask this part, because it may just have this confused in this one area.
I guess that the difference is where this part is seeing clearly what the advantage of making the choice is, whereas this part doesn't.
Okay. So the part that has the objection that you might become a bore, if it could see the clear advantages to you making choices, we're not saying give up everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing this part thinks that you're going to say no to everything now that's offered food-wise, right? That's its biggest fear, that you're going to say, oh, no, I don't eat that. No, make a big fuss about it instead of, oh, thank you. But maybe I'll have a little of that.
Okay, yeah.
So is this about moderation?
No, because I don't, moderation. A little part of it is.
Or is it about the way you communicate what you are and aren't eating?
Maybe it's about communication. See, more.
You know, that's what I was getting. I don't know if any of the rest of you are getting that. You know, if you make a big fuss about it. And my good friend Robert Dills doesn't eat lunch. And he goes to lunch with us all the time. And he doesn't make a big deal out of it. He says, no, thank you, I'll have some tea.
Right, that's hard for me to do because, like, if I'm there, I'm going to eat something. Like, that's what's going to happen. I'm going to see, like, oh, it's not going to hurt.
Uh-huh.
And then if I say, no, I'm not going to go to lunch, then there's more questions, like, or the looks people give you, like, well, mm-hmm.
What does this part need from you so that it won't feel like you're becoming a bore? What needs to be a part of this before we even consider making a change?
I think it just needs that determination that I'm making the right choice.
Okay. Oh, so if it had the determination you were making the right choice, would it have any objections?
No.
No, well, let's find out what happens. If we were to bring, so this is what we do, we bring this way of thinking into this context related to food. Okay, y'all following me? This way of thinking. Now, before, when I was teaching you mapping across, we just stepped straight across and said, well, we'll bring the state and the physiology. And when you're doing submodalities, I've found it really helpful to just gather up all these submodalities and send them out to a little dot on the horizon. And then as they step to the new context, which will be about food, to bring in one at a time of the submodalities that will work. And guess where we're going to start? Not with the visual. Yeah. Because the kinesthetic is so strong in when she has the determination. And then we'll actually go through the process of allowing the glossiness on the food to fade so it doesn't look quite so good. Okay? So over here into the activities thing. Again, feel that sense of strength up the spine, up your back, that firmness. That also has a calm to it. Mm-hmm. Notice that you can actually hear some kind of music in stereo that goes along with this sense of determination. Yeah. And a voice towards the back that comments on that. And you have some faint visual images out there in the distance that don't even have real color to them necessarily. Now, if we were to take all of this, but especially this sense of strength and firmness up the spine and determination, and we gather it all up with the music that goes with it and the voice that's determined, and send it out in the same direction as where that visual image is, mm-hmm. out there. And so they're all out there together. That sense of determination, that music, the visual image.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, while they're all out there, they're going to reorganize themselves. And if you would take one step over to realize that now, as this, whatever it is that's out there, comes back in and slowly moves back in, you feel, as you're standing in front of some kind of food, this sense of determination because you've made a commitment to yourself. And you actually feel that in your spine while you're standing in front of some food that you would have a choice for. And you can feel the calm that comes over you because you're standing firm and solid. And
okay.
You have that up the back. And then you hear this music pop in.
I thought it was already there.
Oh, all right. You're too slow, Susie. Hurry up. The music's already there. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And notice that as you are there, looking at the food now, the image of the food as you imagine it can move away from you, so it's not so colorful. And the glossiness fades away so that you can remain with this sense of determination up the back and the music.
Okay.
Now, look at that food that you looked at the other day. And notice what's shifted about it.
Oh, it's now black and white.
Oh, it's black and white. Not even sepia. Okay.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's like it's somewhere out there, but it's not in where it used to be. Like, it's not in the place where it used
okay,
to
it's
be.
Okay, it's not in the place where it used to be. It's somewhere out there.
Yeah.
So it's moved further away so that you can focus on this sensation in your back of determination. Just let that settle in so you have that full body sensation of determination and strength. And then step out of that. See, she moved ahead of me. People do that because the driver in this sense was this feeling.
Do you anchor people during this process?
I don't typically. The words themselves are anchors. We don't use a kinesthetic anchor necessarily, Claire. So now, imagine you're back there in that kitchen, in your mother's kitchen again. Mm-hmm. That's good. Oh, did you all see what she did? She started to look down, and then the eyes have more of a tendency to move out. So congratulate yourself on the fact that you made a decision that to be determined to give yourself more choices concerning food doesn't mean that you turn all food down that you like. That I think that's critical for this part of you. This is about, well, sometimes I might eat it and sometimes I might not, but I'm determined to be true to whatever choice I make at that point so that I don't get this other voice coming back in that goes, screw it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And what will you say to yourself when you're looking at a plate of food like that?
And I'll just say, you know, that's okay. I'll have it some other time.
Uh-huh.
Or I'll, you can have it, I'll enjoy it with you.
Yes.
Like, mentally.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, what has shifted in your internal experience in doing this?
Yeah, the compulsion is gone.
So congratulate yourself on that. That is wonderful.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And just for your conscious mind, I think a part of the compulsion was the glossy on the food. So it just if it ever appears again, you just fuzz it up.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
That was fun.
Very nice. That was fun, she says.